it just might be a little quieter on your drive to work this morning. There's no school. Students are off today and tomorrow for Remembrance Day. A few people I spoke to on the weekend, well, it seemed a lot of people I spoke to on the weekend were leaning towards taking today off. Some for childcare reasons, others just thought, oh, may as well. Hoping tomorrow to see a great turnout for Remembrance Day services. The Royal Canadian Legion, branch number one, will host their ceremony at the branch center. Doors open at 9, but hopefully everyone's seated by 10. And also an outdoor service at the Cenotaph War Memorial in Victoria Park. Now, it starts about 10:30, but they suggest you want to be there a little closer to 10 to get a good spot. And another 10:30 ceremony takes place at the Saskatchewan War Memorial, located at the ledge. And Riverside Memorial Park Cemetery, even Regina Cemetery, are going to be open up at 8 a.m. tomorrow if you're wanting to visit loved ones there. This Remembrance Day, one Saskatchewan veteran is reflecting on a century of courage and the women who refused to be told no. At 100 years old, Ruth Bon Martinson has lived through war and the long fight for women to be seen as equals. In this Saskatchewan story, our Brittany Cafe is sitting down with the woman whose message of resilience is still inspiring new generations.
They were just two farm girls in 1943, sitting on a step, talking about the war and wondering what part they could play.
My girlfriend and I, we talked and said, you know, we should join. So we talked about it. Well, we'll go down and ask questions, which we did and ended up signing the papers.
Ruth Bond Martinson was just 18 when she enlisted in the Women's Royal Canadian Naval Service. The work was demanding and the expectations were low, not from the women themselves, but from the world around them. Many people still believe that women couldn't handle men's jobs.
What are they talking about? We can do this and we can do that. There isn't a thing we can't do. There wasn't a thing. That's why we got initiated into many things for the military.
More than 45,000 Canadian women served in uniform during the Second World War. But when the war ended, their uniforms came off. The Legion doors opened, but not to them.
And this isn't funny, there's no women, you know. Well, no, we don't have women. So a bunch of us females thought, this is terrible. The females, why can't we join it?
Women weren't yet invited to sit at the table, so they built their own. Bond Martinson co-founded the Maple Leaf Unit, a place for female veterans to connect and share their stories.
As a woman, I never liked to feel put down, and that was the big thing. And I've told the girls, stand tall, remember, head up, shoulders back. Be strong.
Even now, more than 80 years after she signed the papers to enlist, she's still looking toward the future.
I'm not through yet. Although I may be 100, I still have goals that I haven't reached.
For Ruth Bond Martinson, Remembrance Day isn't just about looking back. It's about carrying on. A reminder that no matter the barriers,
we can do this and we can do that. There isn't a thing we can't do.
Taking notes from a woman who's still proving we can do anything. With a Saskatchewan story, I'm Brittany Cafe, 980 CJME.
There's no time left for you.
Well, I follow Burton Cummings on social media, and he's one of my all-time favorites. He posted a photo of he and Randy Bachman along with this, asking, how many of you remember the last show the Guess Who did July 30th, 2003? That was the SARS Fest in Toronto, and he went on to say it was the final performance wrapping up their North American tour at the time. And Burton then was asking, hey, Randy and I were talking, and we think 23 years is long enough. Who's with us? Well, of course, the comments were outstanding in favor of a Guess Who reunion. So we'll see what happens. Just saying. Is he teasing us there? I know there's a concert announcement coming up later this morning at 9. So we'll see what Burton has to say. Or maybe it's another. I don't know. We'll find out. If you tuned into Disney Plus on Saturday Night Live, you might have seen the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony. And there were a lot of people inducted. Bad Company, Outkast, Cyndi Lauper was one. She's 72 now. She thanked those who came before her.
I know that I stand on the shoulders of the women in the industry that came before me. And my shoulders are broad enough to have the women that come after me stand on mine. And rock and roll is a big, wonderful quilt of a lot of different styles of music. And all of that music has influenced me and my work. And without it, I don't know what kind of music I'd be making.
Now, Bad Company also joined the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with an all-star tribute performance. They had founding member drummer Simon Kirk. He was the only original member on stage, and he was joined in performance by Chris Robinson from the Black Crowes, Heart's Nancy Wilson, Aerosmith's Joe Perry, and our own Brian Adams on vocals.
I can't get enough for your love.
Yeah, he sounded great. Bad Company honored at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Only the original drummer. It's too bad that the hall waits so long to honor amazing bands who've been around for decades like that. If they didn't wait so long, then maybe it could have been more than just the drummer there for the honor. But I think it's awful they wait so long. Some of the other headlines this morning, 11th Avenue is open in downtown Regina after finishing another round of the revitalization project, although many of you on my CJME Morning Show Facebook page wondering whether or not Lightning McQueen did the patchwork.
I'm the first one on the new road.
It looks awful.
You know, it matches the rest of the town.
Okay, Luke Wilson of TSN, I remember he said something similar a few months ago when he was here to cover a game about downtown Regina. But look, the picture on the Facebook page shows One Direction. There is a lot of patchwork because they're coming back. They just needed to get through winter. As for Dewdney Avenue between Albert and Broad, not open yet. Rider fans are celebrating, and you can with the team and wish them well as they leave at 3:30 today for Winnipeg. They're having a send-off the west side of the stadium, and that's right near the Reed and Lancaster statues. Again, 3:30, no school today. Maybe you're off with the kids, too. There's something you could do this afternoon. But what a game, and fans on the Green Zone post-game show called it a heart stopper.
Probably the best night I've ever had as a Rider fan in a very, very long time.
Well, I'm really happy they won. When the moment shines, the brightest you will perform.
Oh, I still am out of breath from that ending.
They finally let the dogs out. I knew that the team was going to fight hard till the end.
My heart's just pounding.
I'm still trying to catch my breath after an incredible game.
I'm so glad my heart rate has finally come down.
I can relate. Joining me now before he jets off to Winnipeg, our very own Green Zone host Jamie Nye, whose resting heart rate is in better shape this morning, I'll bet, than it was Saturday, right?
Oh, my goodness, Greg. That was insane. I'm almost still speechless. I know that's not good for a radio host, but, man, I did not see that coming.
Oh, I think like everyone else, screaming at the top of her lungs, questioning what was going on at times. But your commentary today mentions how the God Center got it right for us and didn't interfere. You're sure it was a catch as I am, right, for Tommy Neal? Because there was 100%. Nothing really conclusive video-wise to say otherwise.
100%. The Amar Doman and Ryan Rigmaiden should be fined by the Canadian Football League for sharing a blurry, ugly photo and trying to make this something. When you look back at the video that correlates with that still image, which I did, when that image hits, you can clearly see in the video that the ball is behind his upper hand and it's nowhere near the ground. It's his elbow that they circle pertaining to be the ball. Like, it's an absolute joke. It's an absolute joke that the Lions did that. Anyways.
Agreed. Good catch there, too.
Let's celebrate the Riders. Hey, what a performance. What a team.
And the coach knew better, believed in his defense. But let me talk about those final moments, because everyone else is choosing to kick a field goal for three. That defensive stand, awesome. But before the field goal, I'll ask you, because I belted on earlier, and both of us were screaming to run the ball with Ouellette at least once. Were you surprised when they didn't at least hand the ball to him after that first toss attempt failed?
Yeah, I was thinking they were going to try to run it in right from the hop, like first down, let's go, let's pile it in and then get closer and pile it in. And anyway, I was thinking about Tommy Stevens. But then as I went through it, on the, like I was doing it live on the show almost, I was like, Tommy hadn't touched the ball all game. It's cold. The football's slippery. He hasn't got a snap yet. And I was like, okay, mate, that's probably Corey's like, let's not put that out there. And then have the third stringer fumble the ball or something ridiculous. So when you go through, and then he believed in his defense. That's why he kicked the field goal. If he would have got it opposite, that would have been a tie game. We'd be playing overtime. Or, you know, if he gets that touchdown, couldn't you imagine what they're playing for next? Is Brett Love to come on the field and kick a game-winning field goal? So,
yeah. Well, Coach knew best, and we're happy about that this morning. Honestly, the West and East final were amazing finishes. Montreal winning with a 45-yard field goal, beating Hamilton 19-16. At the end of that game, Davis Alexander, Montreal quarterback, hobbling from a hammy, and he's going to be in rehab all week. But this is the first big storyline for Cup Week, isn't it? McLeod Bethel-Thompson, if he's not ready, he might step in, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a major, major storyline. That first practice day that's open for the Montreal Alouettes, Britton Gray will be watching very closely on which quarterback is throwing the ball and where is Davis Alexander. It's going to be cold weather with a hamstring injury. He's been battling that hamstring injury all year. I just don't see it. Like, I see him playing, but I just don't see him being 100% healthy.
Well, he's only effective if he can be mobile, right? He's a lot like Rourke that way. He likes to dip out of the pocket. If he has to stand there, I don't think we're going to see him too long there. But, hey, interesting, too. During the regular season, Thompson is who the Riders faced, right? This is our first face-to-face.
Before anybody gets too excited, it was McLeod Bethel-Thompson who put up 48 points against this team like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
When everybody was like, this team's not a Grey Cup contender. They can't even beat McLeod Bethel-Thompson, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, Jamie Downer, stop that.
No, you're all right. Don't get too far ahead of yourself on that. It's a guaranteed win or something like that.
Jamie, how's the Green Zone planning on covering Cup Week? What do we need to know?
Well, we will be heading out to tomorrow, and the show will be live all week long. Some special show on Saturday, a Grey Cup Saturday show, and then, of course, the Green Zone pregame show, 3 o'clock on Sunday, the postgame show. We will have you covered, wall-to-wall coverage, Grey Cup week. Here we go. Can't wait.
Let's do it.
I don't think I've ever said can't wait to get to Winnipeg, but this would be a moment. Can't wait to get to Winnipeg.
Can't wait for your coverage either, Jamie. Nice work, as always. Thank you, my friend.
Right on, Greg. Say what you want to say.
Went to the Pats game Friday night. Unfortunately, they lost 4-3, but really impressed by AI. Keats Fawcett, very impressive. Got all three goals that night. A little late. They came out kind of flat in the first. Great in the second, third. Well, they were just a little flat again. Nowhere near as many fans Friday night there as there were Tuesday for the I Love Regina Pats game. When you sell $10 tickets, more people come out, I guess. They had over 4,500 that night. I want the Pats to do well this year. I love Coach Brad Herhoff. He was on this show at the beginning of the season. He said, man, all we want to do is just make the playoffs. That's our goal after missing the last couple of years. And they've been flirting with the eighth spot, the final playoff spot lately. And Saturday afternoon, after losing Friday when I was there, they go to Moose Jaw. Get back on track. They win 6-3 and then back home yesterday. And wow, the Broncos, they whipped them 7-1. And meanwhile, Pat and Pat Canadian star Maddox Schultz was Captain Clutch on the weekend.
Big time chance right now. Schultz. He's way down the middle. And Schultz scores! Maddox Schultz, the Team Canada White captain on the penalty shot. He's going to bring his team back within one.
Yeah, he did indeed for the World Under 17 final to win the gold medal. Canada Red won its first gold medal after defeating Canada White 6-3 Saturday night. And Liam Pugh, also from the Pats, had the OT winner in the semifinal against the Americans. So the Pats' future is pretty bright with those kids. Hey, Sunday in the NHL, briefly, there was a new scoring leader.
Just scores! Connor Bedard! Oh my goodness, what a shot by number 98 to make it 1-0 Hawks 59 seconds into the game.
I say briefly because, yeah, that came in the afternoon. Connor Bedard lit the lamp twice, got 3 points for the Hawks yesterday. And there he was, the top of the NHL leaderboard with 25. He's been on fire and clearly sending Team Canada a message. He wants to be one of those empty roster spots that are still available. And unfortunately for Connor, by the evening, he would be sitting 4 points back of the Avalanche's Nathan MacKinnon, who big win against the Canucks, snagged 2 goals, 3 assists. And Macklin Celebrini of the San Jose Sharks, like Connor Bedard, both from North Van. He scored another Friday night. He's in the top five on the scoring leader as well. And if you're an Oilers fan like I am, they better win against the Blue Jackets tonight. It's on Prime. If they don't respond better than they did against the Avalanche Saturday night, we're in trouble here. The fans are going to go bananas because Colorado beat the Oil 9-1 Saturday night. Stuart Skinner was polled for the fourth time since the start of the new season. Some fans were joking, and I'll read one here. The guy says, and where is it here? Oh, my concern is that the other teams have all figured out Skinner's weakness. Goaltending! Well, yesterday, coach of the Oilers, Knobloch, was asked this about Skinner.
Is this team losing some belief here when it comes to the goaltending situation?
I don't believe so.
Big dramatic pause there. I don't know. The Oil were booed off the ice. And if that loss wasn't enough to wake him up, I don't know what is. But I'm not concerned. We're still going to be fine in the playoffs, but they need to get rolling here. Hope you remember Remembrance Day services tomorrow. The Legion is having one at the Brand Center. Doors open at 9. Be there by 10 for a good seat. Program usually wraps up at noon in Victoria Park at the Cenotaph. That service starts at 10:30. There's another next to that war memorial beside the ledge along Albert Street there. That too at 10:30 tomorrow.